This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
We take you now to Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York to hear the Sunday morning Religious Science service.
Good morning. We are going to talk this morning on the idea of power. That the individual is power. That is what you are, and that is what I am. We all know ourselves as body. We all know ourselves as mind. We all know ourselves as this physical operation moving around. But we're going to this morning concentrate on the idea of power. Because you are a center of an immensity of power. I am a center. We all are. You see, we have always talked ourselves down. We have always been mean with ourselves. And some of this was tradition. We were taught as children we shouldn't think of ourselves as being important or this or that or the other. Much of it is family tradition. Now, here we are as adults reversing the whole situation. Because you are power, I am power. And the immensity of mind is backing me up and backing you up. And it is tremendous and it is terrific and it is wonderful. All right, let's be still a moment and take this into our subconscious mind. This idea that all the power there is in the universe is centered in your and my subconscious mind. It's what in the former days we called the power of God, the power of life, the power of love. And I want to add a new term, the power of beauty. All of this is now in action in us, through us, and as us. We are the beloved inlet and outlet of the infinite power. This is what we are, have been, and always will be. We now subconsciously know it, accept it, and therefore we are it. All right, so it is. And for those of us who are here in Alice Tully Hall this morning, we're going to turn to our song as usual and sing it. With authority. We're glad to be back in the big hall again. And you sang so well when we were outside in the grand foyer that I'm sure you're going to do it equally well now that we're back in here and feel at home again. All right, we build a new tomorrow. We draw the pattern clear. That's exactly what we're doing here. We make our plans with wisdom, for mind is ever here. Our thinking makes our future. Our actions pave the way. We build a new tomorrow on patterns formed today. Beautiful words. The grand old tune. Shall we stand and sing? Tonight, my topic is All Power Is Yours. And as I stated earlier, this is an absolute fact, an absolute truth. But we don't think of ourselves as that. We know about the power of money. We know about the powers of politics. We know all about powers. Electricity, the whole bit, nuclear and all the rest. But we underestimate the nature of the individual, because every form of power that we have harnessed or developed has come out of the minds of men and women. That's where it originated. That's where the ideas came from. That's where the plans were made. That's where the laboratories were developed. And that's where it's come. Whether it's the simplest original form of the water wheel, or whether it's the most complicated system of physics that we have in the world today. All of this came out of the mind of man, the mind of the individual. Every bit of it. All power came out of man. Why? Because you are the key to the universe. You are the key to the universe. I am the key to the universe. And all the developments that will come up in the next 1,000 years will come because people thought, designed, acted, created, produced. It's going to be fascinating. Now, we'll be around quite a while, not all that time. We'll see a lot of it, as we have in the past. Just imagine how strange your great-grandfather would be in today's world. He would be utterly confused for the first 2 years, just utterly amazed at what is taking place in your lifetime and mine. Fascinating. Now, one of our basic propositions is that the universe is mind in action. True, it's operating through form, it's operating through matter, but its essence is mind. And then our second proposition, that the individual is actually mind, even though he uses or she uses a body. That we are mind in mind, as mind, and beside mind there is nothing else. Now, as I often say to you, this is not new. The philosophers have many times said it in many ways. But it has never been used as a practical thing until an idea such as ours came along. All the power there is individualizes itself in every individual. All the power. Now, you and I have been raised in the school of I don't know. I need to know more. I need this, I need that, I need the other. And yet, quietly and calmly, once in a while, stop and just say, I am power. I am all the power there is. I am all the life there is. I am all the mind there is. I am all the intelligence there is. I am the total thing. Now, this is why the great wise mind who wrote the first chapter of Genesis said that you and I were the image and likeness of the power. That was his way of saying that we are the image and likeness of whatever this creative something is. And as the image and likeness, we are the power to our individual experience. You are the power to your individual experience. I am the power to my individual experience. Now, knowing this, I can do what I want to do when I want to do it, even if what I want to do is wrong. Even if what I want to do is wrong, I can still do it. Now, let's assume, though, let's get over on the positive side, and let's assume that I have all the power to do the good that I want, to create the fullness of life the fullness of experience that I want and need, because the needs of the human mind are tremendous. The obvious great needs for a sense of order, peace, a great sense of love, a great sense of companionship, a great sense of all of these things. These are the great hungers of the individual soul. And they all can be fulfilled by the individual's awareness of himself. All of them. Now, this means, of course, that as being aware of himself, he will then relate to every other person. See, that's why the mystics have always said we are all one. And they have always said that if I hurt you, I am hurting myself. This is old, old teaching. And that if I love you, I am loving myself. That which I do to anyone else, I am doing unto myself. In any relationship of any kind, even if I were to isolate myself and not have much communication with the world, I am still the only power that I am and have and can be. But I have made the unwise decision of departing from the human family. This, of course, you can't do. Oh, you can do. We know the people who do it. But anyway, they don't come here. They don't listen to me. They know they have to relate if they're going to be around. Now, power. And the power is mind, the power is idea, the power is intelligence, the power is the whole thing. It's all that life is, it's all that the universe is, it's all that you are, and it's all that I am. But I can control it, and you can control it. As I've often told you, very few people want to determine their own destiny. Most people want to have a destiny outlined by someone else. This is why we have always had great spiritual leaders who said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the people have nodded their heads and followed. And yet it's interesting that these great spiritual minds, men and women, were not terribly interested in followers. They were interested in doers. One of the most, you've heard it many times, but one of the most interesting things about Jesus was he separated his audience between doers and hearers. He knew he could always get the hearers. What he wanted was the doers. And he got a couple, not many, a couple here and a couple there. Because these great spiritual minds knew that you are your only savior. I am my only savior. Now, they allowed their followers to think of them as that because they knew that the followers wanted that and perhaps needed that. But the ultimate goal was to be your own spiritual self. That's why he said, you are the light of the world, and they probably didn't pay any attention. They didn't want to be the light of the world. They wanted to be in his light. You know. So he's often referred to as the light of the world, because he said he was. But he also said, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And he said, the things that I do, you can do, and greater things than these can you do. And they shook their heads, listened, but did not really hear. Because they could not accept themselves as the total experience and programmer of life. The total experience and programmer of life. This whole thing. They couldn't see that. No. So they had to have someone to follow, and they followed. And that's why, you see, when you come into a teaching such as this, where we are trying to get everybody on their own two feet, You see, that's why we don't build a Messiah complex about anybody. Because we want the individual to work in his own light, in his own mind, in his own field of energy, in his own field of power. Now, we can watch the way other people use the power, the mind, and the energy, and we do. You see it in the people you know all during the week. I see it in the people I know all during the week. But I take time once in a while to remind myself that I am it. And by it, I mean the whole thing. I am it. Now, for some people, this is, of course, totally sacrilegious. And they have a right to that opinion. But I also have a right to mine. So people say to me, "We'll do it," and then you are saying, "I am God." I said, "Yes." "Well, how can you say that?" "I don't know. Jesus did. He got away with it." Just exactly what he said. "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I and my Father are one." Exactly what he said. But you see, it's one thing for an historical figure to say it, and it's another thing for a contemporary figure to say it. We had a teacher in the field years ago, long since gone on his way. Every time he came out on the platform, anytime, Sunday morning classes or anything, his opening sentence was, "I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me." And people would listen. People would listen. "I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not have any other god before me." And you know, after a few years of listening to this once or twice a week, it got into their heads. But again, they made the mistake. The guy standing up here was God. Because he announced that he was. You see. And then, of course, they began saying, "What do we do if anything happens to him?" Well, something did happen to him. So they went on to find their new Messiah, wherever that one might be. This concept of I am, and if I am, then I'm the whole thing. Now, the whole world has shouted down through the ages, it isn't so. But you have to forget that. You have to forget that you are supposed to not be great and just accept yourself as being great. You have to forget that the world expects you to be in part, but not in full. And you are in full. You're the whole thing. I'm the whole thing. Now, you're going to say, "All right, I'll accept it or I will reject it," but what's the value of knowing it? Because you see yourself as an unconditioned, free expression of consciousness. You are a free expression of total consciousness. Now, your body tells you its limitations. Your bank account tells you its limitations. And everywhere we look and read and see, we get more limitations. But this is the old yoke that we have to throw off. I am unconditioned and free. If you were to say that to a neighbor, they would look at you in complete astonishment. Because they would say that isn't so at all. And then they always bring out the great impossibles. "Why, you can't walk from here to San Francisco." "No, I don't want to." That's why they have airplanes. I don't want to do that. I always do this. Well, you can't walk on water. Well, who wants to? I don't. I have no desire. They'll always put out these great impossibles, you see. And yet the mind that is power designed the boat. And so if you take the Staten Island Ferry, you are on a boat which was created by mind in and through people. The power of mind in people created the boat. And so you go across, you come back, you whatever you want to do with it. Because power was put into a practical use. Now, how can you put it into practical use? By attitudes. By attitude. I can tell your basic attitude by the way you walk. I can tell your basic attitude by the way you use voice. And I'm not a psychic or a seer, and I've never studied the elements of the body or anything else. You and I give evidence of our self-concept. Of what we really believe we are. And it emanates. It proceeds from us. Now, fortunately, the average person isn't the least bit interested in anyone else but himself or herself. And so they say, well, I'll get through another week, another month, another year. And that's about all they do. Yeah. But what do? We project when we know it. I am this thing, and I should look like it, act like it, walk like it. How would you like it if I came slumping out here every Sunday? And shuffling around, and a bunch of papers to play with here. You know, and sit kind of sloppy. You wouldn't like it at all. Thank God I don't do it, never did do it, and never will do it. So, when I'm 95, they can wheel me out. You know. But at any rate, and I'll be sitting upright in that chair, rest assured. Now, that's 95, and it's a long way off. In case any of you are speculating. Come back. You begin to take on an attitude of self-authority. You begin to take on the responsibility for your individual life. And that's something. That is something. Because even though I flow among people, family, friends, loved ones, relatives, business associates, and all the rest, nevertheless, I am an individual unit. See, that's why they have always said, remember, you were born alone and you will die alone. That matters not how many people are in the room. So when you were born, there probably was a doctor, maybe a nurse, midwife, whatever. But you didn't know it. For a long time afterwards, in fact, you didn't know it. Now to come back. We are this total, I won't say aloneness, because we mingle. We have our doors and windows of consciousness open. We flow with groups. We flow with friends, loved ones, and all the rest. But you get this sense of I am the only authority unto myself. And this, of course, is what people don't want. They don't want to be that. And so, if the story is correct, they got rid of Jesus because he talked too much. He told people what they could be and they didn't want to be. And so they, in essence, said, let's get him out of the way. Then we can go back to our nice, old, monotonous routines. And they did, beautifully. Beautifully. And so when Paul set up Christian Church, he did the same thing. He gave them nice, comfortable routines. Now, we give you no comfortable routine. We respect these great figures in history and their contributions. But you have to be you. You see. So people say, oh, Dr. Barker, I wish I could be like you. Well, first of all, you don't know what I am. You know, you don't know what I am, or in the sense of the inner workings of my consciousness. You see the outer, you listen, you sense the projection. And of course, my answer always has been, but you're not supposed to be like me. Not supposed to be. Life didn't create you to be like me or anybody else. Now you're going to say, well, but we need our ideals. Of course you need your ideals. And when great figures of history illustrate ideals, then you're using them correctly. You see, then you're Isaiah, then you're Jesus, then you're Jeremiah or you're Paul or the later great minds. You're using them correctly when you use them as ideals. And use them as a fount of knowledge to increase your own self-awareness, not theirs. These great men and many others and women all knew this. And they did study the great ideals that have been offered the world. And then they individually applied it into their own experience, into their own life. Because there they are, the ideals. And without these great men and women, we would have a poverty of ideals. Right now, we have a tremendous plenty of ideas, but new ones always coming along. Always coming along. I remember back in 38, when I was reading in one of Ernest Holmes' books this statement, and I rejected. I just said, well, that's blasphemy. And he wrote, he said, God in man, as man, is man. Now, you old timers have known this because you've not only read it, you've been class taught on it and all the rest. God in man, as man, is man. Why? Back there in 1938, I thought that was awful. Why, this man saying that I am this whole thing. Well, of course, as I studied more, I realized that this man's wisdom was there. It was a very great ideal and a very important one. Instead of this complex of poor little me, I hope the Lord will take care of me. The Lord doesn't take care of anybody. Everybody takes care of themselves. Well, we have the old adage, God loves those that help themselves. Because that's the way this thing works. Your entire experience is a projection of your consciousness. You heard that the first day you ever came. My entire experience is a projection of my consciousness. There it is. And I can project it any way I want to. Just as you can project it anywhere. Or I can conform, which means I no longer have to do original thinking. See, conformity to men like Emerson and other great philosophic minds, conformity was, I'm going to say, this is a big sentence, the root of most evil. We have dropped that from our language. One of the great things about the maturing process is that we have more discernment. We begin to relax from the rush, the hurry, the everything, and think a little bit more about that which is real. Now, does this mean you and I have to give up something? Not at all. Does this mean we should suddenly become good in the old-fashioned standard of goodness? Not at all. There's nothing worse than a person who is good only because they have followed somebody else's instructions. Really? And the Christian church has been trying to make people good for 2,000 years. Thank God it didn't work. Now, don't you quote me on that. Yeah. Now, because this Christian church has done a great deal of good, along with its errors of omission and commission, it's done a great deal of good. Coming back, does this mean then that you should become a good, a false good? Not at all. Then you're of no value to anyone. Does this mean you should become the other and break all the rules of society, all the rules of ethics, morals, and all? Not at all. That's the hardest rule of all. Because you're dealing with the law of cause and effect. You're dealing with the law of action and reaction. The root of most evil. Conformity. Because it ruins original thinking, and you were created to be an original thinker. That's why one of the prophets said, I am not like any other man. Because he knew he wasn't. He knew that the word individual meant exactly that, an individualization in a unique and great way of life itself. And he treasured that. He appreciated that. And he declared that it was so. Now, this is true of you. And true of myself, true of everyone we know. But you see, it's easier to lump ourselves into the group. Much easier. And so we do this. Is it wrong? I don't think it's a matter of being right or wrong. It's a matter of growing or decaying. Yes, growing or decaying. Growth comes from original conceptions of the self. Different conceptions. Varying concepts. But you see, here again, with tradition behind this, it isn't quite nice to think about ourselves too much. We shouldn't really think very much about ourselves. Nice people wouldn't do that. Brilliant minds do it. Don't kid ourselves. You wouldn't find an Einstein walking around the university saying, I don't know anything. Nope. You wouldn't find a great artist in any field saying they didn't know their own field. Because there comes with authority a knowingness. A self-knowingness, a self-awareness, a self, the whole thing. So here we are back to the basic question, what am I? And where am I? I'm exactly where I belong by right of my present consciousness. unpleasant it may be, wonderful it may be, I'm very glad I am where I am. Meaning in my various experiences of an average week. Very happy about the whole thing. But I am there by right of my consciousness. You in your busy week are where you are doing what you are doing by right of your consciousness. Because we all are that. Now, coming back. Power. You are the power, I am the power, and the power is available. I've often quoted to you a statement of Mr. Holmes, wherein he said, all the power and all the presence there is holds me in its encircling embrace. When I heard him say that, later when it was put in one of his books, I don't know which one, all the power and all the presence there is holds me, that's it, in its embrace. I may not know it, I may not care, so what? It still is there. There's a lot of things I may not know and may not care to know, but they're there. I don't know how deep the Hudson River is, and don't intend to find out. Now, if I were a mariner or seaman, I'd have to know. But I don't need to know. But the knowingness is there if I want it. Anything you want to know, you can know. And if you don't think so, go to the public library. It's there. Now, again, there's so many things in life you don't need to know. I don't need to know. Don't need to know it at all. But I know it's there. I know that wires from this speaker here are going under the streets of New York down to 47th Street, I think it is, 45th Street, where I am talking down there and in a studio that is sending it out to 6 more stations. I don't need to know where these wires are. I just thank God they're there. But I don't need to know why. But I could know if I wanted to know. Because I'm sure that a specialist with the telephone company would tell me, would be able to map out just how they get from here down there. Because it could be known. Anything in life can be known to the inquisitive mind. And you see, that's one of the things that we have to be. See, to be religious, you believe what other people believe. To be spiritual, you do your own original thinking. I'll say that again. To be religious, you do and are and believe what other people believe. But to be spiritual, you do original thinking. You have an inquisitive mind. Most people don't even question the nature of God. They accept whatever has been given them, say, well, it must be so because apparently this man knows what he's talking about. More and more, I dislike defining the nature of the creative power. Because in the final analysis, any definition of an unlimited power becomes a limitation. Any definition of an unconditioned, free flow of energy becomes a limitation. Definition, by its very fact, becomes limitation. That's why I like to have the individual say, but I am an ever-expanding, ever-unfolding action. You see, then you do not have a limitation at all. Rather, you have an aspiration to expand, to become the greater thing, the larger consciousness, the whatever it is, because this you can. But you and I, you know, have to do it. Now, will we do it? I don't know whether you're going to do it or not. Will I do it? I'll do it in part. I try. Well, why don't you do it wholly, Dr. Barker? Because I don't think you can do all of it right here and right now. I don't think so at all. But I certainly can expand consciousness. That I can do. By knowing more facts, no. I have now arrived at the maturity of facts, I know enough, of facts. But by self-exploration as to what I really am. Not what someone else says I am. Not what the good books say I am. Not even what the great wise leaders of spiritual thought down through the ages have said I am. But rather, what do I say that I am? Yeah. And as you remember once, Jesus said to the disciples around him, whom do men say that I am? So they told him. Among other things, of course, it's always confused. Most Bible-minded people, they said he was the reincarnation of John the Baptist, who'd only died like a month before. At any rate. So then he turned to Peter and said, in whom do ye? He's heard what the people said. And Peter gave the right answer and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer. And that's the same thing. What do people say you are? I don't know. You can get all kinds of opinions. Those who love you will tell you you're great. Those who can't stand you will say behind your back, you're terrible. Terrible. You know. Yes. But whom do you say you are? Not based on the assumption of the ones that love me or the ones that hate me, but upon how do I love myself and do I hate myself? Because many people have self-hate. Many people have that. Ask any psychiatrist. He'll tell you about the people that have self-hate, self-anger, self-everything. And ask him about the people that have self-love, and he'll say, you know, those people don't need me. You see, they don't need him or her. And so again, the question, if love is a power, and I'm sure it is, then what am I as love? Or what am I as mind? Or what am I as anything else I want to. So I arrive at my own results of my own inquisitive search. As you know, the great wits have always said that the reason that they located God inside of man was because man would never find him. It'd be the last place he'd look. This is an old remark down through the ages. And, of course, a pretty good remark. Except always there's been the person here and the person there who did find the center of power within himself or herself. And these we call the lights of the world, the saints and all the rest. Because they perceived what they really were, not what the world said they were. Because the world likes to tell us the wrong thing. So, We are either of the world or we're of our own self-investigation. I like to think you and I are that. So I'm going to close with this idea that all the power, all the mind, all the creativeness of the entire universe since the beginning of time until the end of time is individualized in each person. For his investigation, for his capacity to draw upon it, these are the wells of living water, the psalmist said, that come up from within. And we're free to use it and rejoice in it. But let's also rejoice that we know it. I am the power, the mind, the creativeness of the entire universe. And so are you. All right, so end of the lesson. We're now going to have that happy time. We're going to take up the morning collection. And on behalf of the Board of Trustees and myself, we rejoice in your love, your generosity, and your graciousness. Now, I know that you all are anxious to hear about our radio scheduling starting next Sunday. First of all, in the New York area and in much of Jersey, you will be getting us at 5 minutes after 12. I'll be here at 11:05 and do it. It will be recorded and rebroadcast at 12:05. In this area here. Now, those of you who are within the area of the New Haven, Boston, Troy, Baltimore, San Francisco stations, you will get yours at the usual time. You will get yours at the usual. This is only affecting the New York City area. And the reason for this being that when we were notified by WNCN that they were discontinuing our program, and our radio agency went to work and covered every basic station, AM and FM, in this entire area, and found that in general, we weren't wanted. And they always do that thing of classifying us as a religious program. And of course, I think we're about as irreligious as is possible to get. You know. But at any rate. Now, finally, we were able to get two stations to cover this area. And I want you to take time this week to play with the dial and locate them. And find them. You are not probably going to get as clear coverage as you did on the present station, NCN. But it's there if you tune fine. Now, let me give you the two stations. So, all right, we will be on WMTR AM 1250 on the AM dot. WMTR AM 1250 on the AM dot. We will be on WDHA FM 105.5 on the FM dial. I'll give you those a minute from now. Now, this is where we stand for the present. At least we're still on the air in this area. Now, so, remember this and play with it. Remember, WMTR AM 1250 on the AM dial, WDHA 105.5. And for the people in Jersey, you are entirely covered, and you can get these stations very clearly and easy. So, now, our radio agency suggests that when you're trying to get this program next Sunday at 12:05, not 11:05, that move your radio around your room. I had a woman in Newark, New Jersey, a devotee in Newark, New Jersey, that could not get our program now on this present station, and it was right there. We have hundreds of listeners in the city of Newark. One day, she decided to rearrange her living room furniture, and she moved her radio from this side, we'll say, to that side, and whammy, she got as clear as a bell. And she'd been grumbling for, "I can't get you on the radio." And she could have all the time. So you may have to move a little furniture next Sunday. Get a nearer window, do anything. You'll know, first of all, you know two things. You'll know my entrance music at exactly 5 minutes after, and you will know my voice. You know, you'll know my voice, and then you can just single it out and get it. The other stations remain unchanged. All right? We have available outside today and at the office anytime a folder on the weekend seminar, which the Reverend Stuart Grayson is going to give up at Mohonk Mountain House on November 15th, 16th, and 17th. These are now outside, and they tell you all about it. and so on. All right, tonight at 6 o'clock, Mr. Fritz Hermans is the speaker. And next Sunday morning, next Sunday morning is the first Sunday of the month. And that means we'll have our 10:45 a.m. healing service, in which I sit in a chair over here and you and I communicate in ways of consciousness and have wonderful results. So if you can be with us next Sunday, that's at 10:45 before we start the broadcast. All right, I guess, October is at hand. And so, outside on the book tables are the October magazines, Science of Mind, and then the one for which I write, Creative Thought. They're both out there. May I say for our radio audience that the two magazines, one is 60 cents, one is 50 cents. Just send a note to us and enclose $1.10 and say, I want the two magazines. And you'll get right off. Right off. So, going out to you. Now, where do you write? You do not write Alice Tully Hall. You write to Religious Science or Dr. Barker at 14 East 48th Street, New York, New York, 10017. And so all the activities of the week are going on as usual. And by the way, we were out of stock for a long time on the book called Power of Belief by Ernest Holmes. We now have it again, being used at classwork in the church building. And if you're interested in the classes, you can still enroll. I'm teaching the Edinburgh lectures on mental science of Troward, and Mr. Grayson is teaching the textbook, Science of Mind. All right, that's a lot. Next Sunday, 12:05 in the New York area. And have fun with the dial until you hear this voice. And then you say, oh, there he is. It'd be very interesting to me, and I've often thought of it, it'd be very interesting for me to know, and I can't know, there's no way of making a survey, of how many homes I am in while I'm talking here on the air. Heaven knows, the radio agency estimates a minimum of 20,000 and a maximum of 100,000. That's a lot of homes to be in. So, at any rate, it's a good thing what we're doing, you know. We are truly spreading a light. It's great. Right, let's resume this. I am the power. Get so you can say it with absolute ease and not be frightened. I am the mind of the universe. I am the individualization of all that is. Make yourself familiar with those terms. At first they sound strange. At first they make you think, oh, it can't be. But say to the intellect, be still, as the psalmist wrote, be still and know that I am God. Good sentence to use. Be still, intellect, and know that I am the whole thing. The whole thing. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea together? And what can I say more than that? There is one mind, one power, one creative process, one life, one love, one everything. And in you and in me, all this is. All life, all mind, all spirit, all truth, all intelligence. In you, in me, in everyone in the world. Only we are the ones who know it. We are the ones who are aware of it, therefore we have the results. I am authority, you are authority. All right, so it is.
This Sunday morning lecture of religious science has been broadcast from Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. Please address all letters and contributions to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker at 14 East 48th Street, New York 10017. A list of books and pamphlets is available on request. You're cordially invited to attend these lectures in person or listen again next Sunday morning at 11:05 for another broadcast of the Sunday morning lecture of religious science.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.